Praise the Lord. Sir, we are glad to have you with us. We are glad. It's an honor. It's an eternal privilege. I was sharing with him in the morning how January 2024, I was praying and I had a dream. I saw his face and it cleared off. I went to pray about the dream I had. And this was the words I got. The Lord said to me, I did a work with Papa Kenny Hagin that affected the whole world. And I have preserved that work in someone. This is not hero worship. This is not... I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying it the way I got it. He said, it is Reverend Tokumbo Adejumo. He said, you will invite him. And when he comes, that work will vibrate again throughout the whole world. And you and the ministry God has committed to you, you will be part, just a part of those who will be in that move. So I began to pray to God, how would this happen? I don't have any contact. He's a senior man of God in this country. So fast forward, some weeks later, I was traveling. That was when I was moving from Port Harcourt to Abuja. That day, I came down from the airport, from the plane, picking my bags, and by my side, I just looked. He was beside me. I said, I wanted to just fall. I wanted to just faint. I said, sir, please, can I speak to you? And well, he is here. So with Jesus' joy, open up your hearts. Rejoice as we receive God's servant. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Well, I'd like to start once again by saying a very big thank you to your pastor. Thank you for this privilege. It's a delight and a thrill to be with you. We began to look in the morning on pneumaticos. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1, the Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'll not have you ignorant. It says, ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. It says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It says, now there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit, differences of administrations but the same Lord, diversities of operations but the same God that worketh all in all. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man who profit with all. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another descending of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11 says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We trust that by your Spirit you will instruct us. We're open to the moving of your Spirit, moving our midst as you so desire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so I began teaching in the morning on seven important things about gifts of the Spirit. Well, in the morning it was more teaching. Well, this evening it's a Holy Ghost meeting. You say, what? Amen. You say, what's a Holy Ghost meeting? Well, a Holy Ghost meeting is three things. Number one, the Word of God is preached and or taught. Number two, the Spirit of God is leading, He's guiding, He's in demonstration and in manifestation. And number three, the needs of the people are met and they are full of joy. So those are things we can expect in the Holy Ghost meeting. Well, we began to say in the morning, we said number one, that God does not want us ignorant about the things of the Spirit of God. The less ignorant we are, the easier it becomes to flow in those things. And the truth is this, the things of the Spirit of God can be taught and they should be taught. Not only are they taught, they're also caught. You know, there's something about association, environment, and influence that causes certain things to rub off on one. So it's important to teach about them. It's important to study about them, which is what we're doing. Then secondly, we said this, that gifts of the Spirit, they magnify Jesus. They point attention to Jesus. They don't magnify me. They don't magnify you. They don't magnify some preacher somewhere. They magnify one person, the only person who is the superstar, and his name is Jesus. So they glorify Jesus. So there's also something about worshiping God and reverencing God and magnifying Jesus that causes the Spirit of God to move. Remember, Jesus said that the Holy Ghost will testify of him, right? So if you're testifying of him, the Holy Ghost will help you do it. If you're magnifying him, the Holy Ghost will help you do it. So, and then thirdly, we said this, that the preaching and the teaching of God's word, gifts of the Spirit, they confirm the preaching and the teaching of God's word. So God's word must be taught. God's word must be preached. Now, does it mean in every service we ought to teach? Not necessarily. But in a general sense, in any church, in any work, you know, we must put the word first. We must put the word first. Now, of course, a church ought to have different kinds of meetings. You know, there's a prayer meeting where we meet to pray. A teaching meeting where the purpose is to teach. There is a believer's meeting. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Then there's a worship meeting where we just come to worship God. A Holy Ghost meeting, I just described. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So there are different kinds of meetings. And a church ought to have different types of meetings. You know, evangelistic meetings, healing meetings. Praise God. And each meeting has a purpose. And there's something about just sticking with the purpose of that meeting that enables us to get the best out of it. So when it comes to gifts of the Spirit, something about preaching the word, teaching the word, that causes the Holy Ghost to come in manifestation. I remember one time I was preaching somewhere, right in the middle of a statement, right in the middle of it, I just heard the Holy Ghost say that somebody just got healed of ulcer. And I blotted it out, you know, someone just got healed of ulcer, and I continued preaching. Well, some months after, turned out it was my own cousin. I knew he used to have ulcer. I saw him growing up. They treated it, things he didn't eat. Then a while after that meeting, I just discovered that he was eating stuff he shouldn't be eating. So I said, what happened? He said, don't I remember that meeting? I said, which meeting? The meeting where I said someone just got healed of ulcer. I said, yes, I remember. He said he wasn't believing God for his healing. I said, I wasn't either. You know? So he said, when I said that, he just thought, well, maybe this is me. You know? And then he tested some things out and found out he was healed of the ulcer. It left. So what was that? It was a manifestation of the Spirit. So the preaching and the teaching of God's word gives room for the Holy Ghost to manifest himself. So if you want to see more manifestations of the Spirit, preach the word some more. Teach the word some more. He confirms it. In Hebrews 2, 3 and 4, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? And was confirmed to us by them that heard him. It says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So gifts of the Spirit, they will confirm the preaching of the word. Remember in Romans 1:16, Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said this. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel is the power. The message itself is anointed. And when we preach the gospel, faith will come to the hearts of men. Many of them will act on what we preach in faith, by their own faith, and they will receive from God. For instance, in Acts 14, from verse 7 to 10, the Bible says, and there they preach the gospel. And it says, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent at his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. The Bible says, and he leaped and walked. Now, how was that man healed? The man was healed by his faith. It wasn't a manifestation of the Spirit. It wasn't Paul's faith. It wasn't because Paul was an apostle. It was because the word of God was preached. But in Acts 8, in Samaria. The Bible says, and Philip went out to the city of Samaria, verse 5. Says, and he preached Christ unto them. Says, and the people gave heed one accord, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out of loud voices, came out of many that were possessed. Many that were lame and had the palsy were healed. There was great joy in that city. That's Acts 8, 5-8. So, in the other place, we saw manifestations of the Spirit through the ministry of Philip. In Acts 14, we saw Paul just preaching the gospel. So there's something about preaching God's word, teaching God's word. If you witness more to the lost, if you share God's word some more, you'll see more manifestations. The Holy Ghost will back up that word. If you teach about the things of the Spirit, faith will rise in people's hearts to yield to the Spirit. And then we'll see more of those things. That's just how it happens. If we don't teach about them, we're not going to see them. If we want to see more of them, let's preach more about them. Let's teach more about them. Let's preach God's word some more. You see, God's word is anointed. It's given by the Spirit of God. And when we put it out, he will back it up. I remember one time, I was somewhere in India. I was teaching a class. And actually, I was teaching on the subject of healing. And sometimes, like I do, I walk around a little bit. So as I was doing that, I went and stood in front of this lady. Moment I stood in front of her, just teaching, I heard on the inside of me, tell that lady she's healed. I thought to myself, I don't even know that she's sick. So I continued teaching. Then I heard it a second time. Tell that lady she's healed. I knew the particular lady it was. Well, I still didn't do it. Third time, I heard it again. Tell that lady she's healed. So I paused. Then I said, it's okay to obey God, isn't it? She said, sure. Then I pointed to the lady. I said, now I'm human and I can miss it. But I seem to feel inspired on the inside of me to tell you you're healed. Now, she didn't say anything or do anything. Just such stuff like praise God. And that was it. No emotion. So I just forgot it too. Only for me to find out later she had a heart condition, an incurable heart disease, and she was instantly healed. Now, that wasn't my faith. That was just the manifestation of the Spirit. But you see, how did it happen? I was preaching the word. In one meeting I was in, six deaf ears popped open in one meeting. Amen. As the word of God was going out. So there's something about the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word. If you want to see more manifestations of the Spirit, preach the word. Preach the word. Teach about redemption. Teach about the finished work of Christ. Teach about the authority of the believer. Magnify the blood. Amen. Magnify the finished work. The moment you do that, once we keep doing that, the Holy Ghost will make it real. T.L. Osborne was one time, he was in India, and he finished preaching, and there was a man who was blind. Yeah, blind, both eyes. Then he said to them, he said, I'm going to pray for this man. And if his eyes don't pop open, then everything I just preached to you tonight is a lie. But if his eyes open, which they will. Now, he wasn't doing that on general faith. That was a manifestation of the gift of faith, actually. You know, he said, I'm going to pray for him now and his eyes will be opened. Well, prayed for the man. The man's eyes popped open. The whole place went wild. Everybody saw it. But you see, the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word. When we put out the word, we give the Holy Ghost room to move. We give the Holy Ghost room to move. So remember, first, we said God does not want us ignorant about the things of the Spirit. We said, second, gifts of the Spirit magnify Jesus. We said, third, gifts of the Spirit accompany the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. Now, if you look in that 1 Corinthians 12, so I'm going to get to my fourth point now. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, differences of administrations, but the same Lord. 6, diversities of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. So my fourth point is this, that there are diversities of gifts, administrations, and operations, but it is all by God. Gifts, administrations, and operations. Now, there are two schools of thought about those three verses. One school of thought is that Paul is talking about all the nine gifts, and he's saying there are diversities of these nine gifts, but it's the same Spirit. These nine gifts are administered to different people, but it's the same Lord. These nine gifts operate at different times through different places, but it's the same God. That's one school of thought. Another school of thought, and there's merit in both, says that Paul is actually talking about three different things. He's talking about gifts, He's talking about administrations and he's talking about operations. Now, if you check those nine that he later mentioned, those nine manifestations of the Holy Ghost, you'll discover that four of them are specifically called gifts in the Bible. For instance, the Bible says, having then gifts differing, 1 Corinthians 12, whether prophecy from verse 6, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So he calls prophecy a gift, isn't it? Now, prophecy is a gift. We know from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, that greater is he who prophesies than he who speaks in tongues except he interprets. So that tells us that tongues and interpretation is equivalent to prophecy, right? So if prophecy is a gift, tongues is also a gift. And interpretation of tongues is also a gift. So that's three of them. Well, healings is actually called gifts too. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 9, you know, talks about the gifts of healing. Now in the Greek text, both words are actually plural. It's actually gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Then later on in that chapter, in verse 27, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says, now, yeah, the body of Christ are members in particular. 28 says, and God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Then it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. It says, but covetousness is the best gifts, yet you're unto you a more excellent way. Now, the earlier, so we see two different lists. There was a list first, then this is the second list. Now, the first list is actually talking about manifestations of the Spirit from verse 8 to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. The second list, verse 28 to verse 30, is talking about ministry gifts. Now, gifts of healings, you see that in both lists, right? So, it's a manifestation of the Spirit, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. You know, we call them gifts of the Spirit. Really, a better term may be manifestations of the Spirit. But you are also not wrong to call them gifts of the Spirit. You know why? Because the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is giving. So, if you call them gifts too, you're right. Right? So, one place is talking about spiritual gifts. The other place is talking about ministry gifts. The apostle is not a spiritual gift. The prophet is not a spiritual gift. The teacher is not a spiritual gift. It's talking about ministry gifts. You now say, but working on miracles and gifts of healings are in both places. You see, working on miracles and gifts of healings will approximate to the office of the evangelist. Right? Just that they are not limited only to the evangelist. And that's probably why he lifted them the way he did. Are you listening?
Yes,
yeah. It talks about administration. You'll see that in the office of the pastor. He talked about helps. He talked about diversities of tongues. Then he said, do all speak with tongues. Now, don't mistake that for speaking in tongues as one of the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. See, there's a ministry of tongues and interpretation that not everybody will have. I tell people that there are three levels of tongues and interpretation. Now, we know that all tongues are the same in essence. It's in purpose and in use that they're different. So I like to say there's general tongues, or there's tongues as a general gift. Then there's tongues as a spiritual gift. Then there's tongues as a ministry gift. Same with interpretation. Every believer, when he gets filled with the Holy Ghost, will speak in tongues. There were five times in the Acts of the Apostles that people got filled with the Holy Ghost. Five times. Acts 2, 1 4, when their Pentecost was fully come, they were all together one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. They prayed unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire, sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see that on the day of Pentecost. We also see in Acts 8, in Acts 8, verse 14, it says, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Well, from verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Verse 14, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet it's fallen upon none of them. Laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. In verse 17, Now get to Acts 9 and in verse 10. A certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, to him said the Lord in a vision, arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas. For one called Saul of Tarsus, behold, a prayer to see in the vision. A man called Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he may receive his sight. Ananias said, I've heard of this man. I has let us put in prison. Then I call on that way. Jesus said, go thy ways, a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17 says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to thee on the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18 tells us immediately they fell from his eyes scales. Yes, we're not told that Paul spoke in tongues there. But Paul himself told us in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, when did he start? When the rest of us started. When the rest of them started. When he got filled with the Holy Ghost. We see in Acts 10, from verse 44 to 46, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And they that were of the circumcision, as many as that believed that came with Peter, were astonished that on the uncircumcision also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, how did they know? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And in Acts 19, from verse 1 to 6, says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came unto Ephesus. Finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Said unto what then were you baptized? Said unto John's baptism. He said, John verily baptized, saying, they should believe on him that's come after him, that is on Jesus. He says, and they believed and they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Verse 6 says, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with tongues and prophesied. So when people got filled with the Holy Ghost in Bible times, they spoke in tongues. Well, you say, what about Acts 8? Well, Acts 8 tells us when Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. What did he see? He didn't see the Holy Ghost. There must have been something that registered on his senses. And I remember when Peter told him, you know, that heart is not right with God. That's not that the gift of God and purchase money. That has in that lot no part in this matter. Now, that Greek word matter is the word logos. And it's rendered in one place as in this matter of utterance. Amen. So they also spoke there. So my point is that there's tongues. Everybody, when they get filled with the Holy Ghost, can speak in tongues. But there's also tongues as a manifestation of the Spirit. As we are in a local church now, a member of this local church, spirit-filled believer, could stand up and give a message in tongues and maybe interpret the same message, or someone else could interpret it. So that's tongues on another level. Then there's tongues as a ministry gift. Where some people have a ministry, you see that in the prophet's office. You can see it also in the office of the pastor, where a person has a ministry of tongues and interpretation. Not everybody has that. Well, you see, speaking in tongues is for every believer. Do you see that? So, remember, I said diversities of gifts, administrations, and operations. So, four of them specifically are called gifts. Are called gifts. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the gifts of healings. Then, two of them are actually operations. What are the ones that are the operations? Working on miracles is actually, in the Greek text, that word working is actually operation. One translation renders it that way, operation of miracles. So it's an operation. Now, if working on miracles is an operation, special faith will have to be an operation. Because while working on miracles produces a miracle, special faith receives a miracle. So both of them will be operations. So that leaves us with three. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. So those three are administrations. Now, there are certain things that are common to each of those groups. But, so that's one school of thought. The other school of thought is that Paul is just saying that all these different gifts are different. They administer different. They operate different. There's merit in either interpretation you give it. Well, so that's my fourth point. Different gifts, administrations, and operations, but God is the one behind it all. Now, you also notice something in these three verses, 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 5, and 6. You notice that it said diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but the same God. So it talks about the Spirit. It talks about the Lord. It talks about God. So the Godhead is involved with this. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're involved with this. So God is the one behind this. God is the one who walks through this. Amen. Now, so my fifth point, you notice in verse 7 that the Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So, and what's that? That gifts of the Spirit are to be a blessing to the body of Christ, are for the profit of all. The purpose of gifts of the Spirit is not to line my pocket, is not to garner attention for myself, is not to prove that I'm something. No, it's to be a blessing. Do you know that gifts of the Spirit can actually be operated out of love? You can actually use gifts of the Spirit to divide a man's church, but God didn't send you to do that. You can use gifts of the Spirit to divide somebody's home. I went to preach in a church one time. So there was this guy. As soon as I looked at him, I knew he was living in adultery. And then I was ministering to him. When all of a sudden, I noticed the wedding ring in his hand. And I suspected there was a lady seated by his side. That was his wife. I later found out. Now, there was something I was going to say, but I didn't say it. I could have said it, and it would have hurt him and hurt his home. He may not have had a home to go back to after the service is finished. Do you see that? And that won't be right. That won't be right. You know, you can use manifestations of the Spirit to cause trouble. In 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 1, the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, and become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It says, though I have the gift of prophecy, have all knowledge, I understand all mysteries, have all faith, so I can remove mountains. It says, and I have not love. He said, I'm nothing. He said, though I give all my goods to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, you notice that he mentioned tongues, he mentioned prophecy, he mentioned knowledge, perhaps the word of knowledge, isn't it? He mentioned faith, which will also go for special faith. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, he had talked about gifts of the Spirit. So you see, we can operate gifts of the Spirit, but not operate them in love. And when we do, they will not be the blessing God intends them to be. You see, 1 Corinthians 14, 12, the Bible says, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So the purpose is to build up the body of Christ. The purpose is not to bring attention to yourself. The purpose is to bring attention to Jesus, is to magnify Jesus, is to bless lives. Is to bless lives, is to help people, is to help situations. So their purpose is to bless. If you read through the Gospels, you'll discover that every time Jesus was moved with compassion, there was a miracle. There was the miraculous. A miracle took place. So there's something about compassion. You know, sometimes you can minister to people, you know, you can minister healing just to prove that this devil, I go show him, say, now me being boss. Yeah, and that's a motivation to do the miraculous. You can do the miraculous just to show that, look, we are new creatures. And this new creation, we carry God. Yeah, we carry God. And yes, that's a motivation. But I don't think it's the highest motivation. The highest motivation really should be that just to be a blessing. Just to be a blessing. Yeah. You know, there are going to be some of us that won't be in center stage. There are people who are behind those cameras. As we are sitting, taking notes, enjoying the service, they are standing up. And I'm giving them a lot of trouble with the way I'm moving around. It's not intended. Forgive me. But I'm just saying, there, not everybody is going to hold the microphone. But the thing is this. Once our heart is, we want to see the lost saved. We want to see people who are out of fellowship with God, unchurched, get back to God. We want to see people who are sick get healed. We want to see people's lives get turned around. That should be our heartbeat. Just to be a blessing. Just to be a blessing. We're not trying to be... Look, fame should never be your goal. Fortune should never be your goal. Amen. If I had my way, I wouldn't be in the ministry. I don't like attention. I don't want any of that. I don't look for it. Doesn't make never mind to me. Yeah. Hey, spotlight, limelight. What's in it? Nothing. You know. But you know, we can get to the place where we're looking for glamour. you know, where we become sensation. No, that shouldn't be our motive. Our motive should be just so that somebody can be blessed. Remember hearing Brother Hagin was talking about one meeting he was in. He said he laid hands with that healing anointing. There was this child. The child just never grew. Imagine like a 12-year-old still being carried like a baby in his mother's arms. Just never grew. He said he laid hands on that child with the healing anointing. He said, but it didn't enter the child's body. He said he didn't have the nerve to tell the mother. He said, and he didn't know why. It was in his hand. He knew it. He felt it. Laid hands on that child. He didn't enter the child's body. He said he left that meeting crying. He cried all the way to his hotel room. He got to his hotel room and he immediately just went on his knees and said, oh God, why couldn't I help that child? Why couldn't I help that child? Oh, that innocent child. Why couldn't I help that child? With tears in his eyes. And he started fasting. Why couldn't I help that child? About the second day of his fast, the Lord gave him the answer. He said, remember what I told you September 2, 1950? What did I say I gave you? He said, a special anointing to minister to the sick. He said, you see, that child doesn't need a healing. The child was born with something missing in the brain. That's why the child isn't growing. What you have is a healing anointing. Healing is the renewal of the body from a diseased condition. There's no diseased condition to heal. The child needs something created. And that's why it didn't respond to that power in your hands. That's why that power didn't go inside the child's body. It didn't. He said, then the Lord told him there's a miracle anointing. That's not the one you have. What you have is a healing anointing. He said, but listen, you can help that child. He said, how? He said, you see, I want you to go to that service and tell the mother just what I told you. Tell the mother that in Matthew 18:19, I said, if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Tell that mother that I said in Mark 9:23, that if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Just set yourself in agreement with her and pray in faith that what was missing will grow. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Yeah, they had actually taken that same child to William Branham. When the child came to Branham's meeting, Branham laid hands on the child and said, no, this child needs a miracle. I have a healing ministry. What I have wouldn't respond to what this child needs. Amen. So you see, there's precision in some of these things. You know, sometimes you try to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. You see, one of us won't have everything. If you had everything, we wouldn't need the rest of us. But you see, we are deficient by design. Howard Carter said, virtually everybody laid hands on for healing, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, got filled. And virtually everybody, his wife, laid hands on for healing, got healed. So when people needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, his wife sent them to him. When they needed to get healed, he sent them to his wife. That's a good team, don't you think so? So there's something about knowing your area of anointing. Knowing what God has called you to do. You know, these days you meet people who claim they are an apostle, they're a prophet, they're an evangelist, they're a pastor, they're a teacher. Haba, only you. You know, you even meet some people who claim they have the Holy Ghost without measure. If you did, then you are the body of Christ. And there's nobody else who's born again except you. You see, when it comes to the Holy Spirit within, which is a function of the new birth, he's not in measures. We have as much of the Holy Ghost within us as is within Jesus. Because we are sons of God with the life of God. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost upon to enable us to minister, we have that in measures. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:7, unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Hebrews 2:4 says, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Actually, the Greek word is merismos, distributions of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? So, manifestations of the Spirit are to bring blessing. They are to bring blessing. So if we just let our motivation be to be a blessing, not to garner attention, not to prove who I am or who I'm not, not to prove what I can do, not to become popular, not for any of that, but just to be a blessing. Our heart must be just to be a blessing. I just want to be a blessing. If nobody knows me, if nobody sees me, I couldn't care less. If I don't get famous, actually, I prefer it. You know? Preachers, we're a spectacle to all men. You can't live a normal life again. Is that fun? To some people, it is, but I don't see it that way. Do you understand? So we must keep our hearts right. Our motivation must always be to be a blessing. I went to preach I actually didn't go to preach. I went to this meeting and I just sat down to fellowship with them. While I sat down, you know, during the service, the Lord revealed to me that there was somebody there whose daddy had epilepsy and that he wanted to minister to that person. I'm a guest. I'm not a speaker, right? That pastor knows the Holy Ghost. He has the same Holy Ghost as in me. I don't have to tell him God gave me a word. God can tell him. If God wants me to give it, God can tell him. I don't have to. You see, a man's gift will make way for him. He won't make way for his gift. It's his gift that will make way for him, isn't it? Yeah, and then God can speak to that pastor. So I sat down, you know. He said, oh, maybe I should preach. I said, no, I'm good. Then he continued. Then all of a sudden he said, no, you ought to say something. You have a word. There's something you ought to say. I felt like saying, oh. You know, in the natural, I made it like, do I really have to? He said, no, there's something. Come and say it. Then I came on the mic. I said, yeah, there's somebody here. Your daddy has epilepsy. You know, then I had sense. I didn't say lift up your hand. You know why I didn't say lift up your hand? The guy could be single. Are you listening? If he's single, you know, even if you tell everybody, close your eyes, you know, there's sometimes you didn't close your eyes. And sometimes I didn't close my eyes. Even when they say, everybody close your eyes. Right? Before word we go out that there's epilepsy in his family. And maybe there's a lady there that he likes, that he wants to marry. Before somebody would just say, don't marry that guy. Your epilepsy runs in their family. Do you understand? So just wisdom and the love of God in my heart. Let me know that I shouldn't have him to raise up his hand. You know, sometimes you feel like, yes, so that they will know I got it right. So that they will know I got it right. Look, who cares? Who cares about it? I got it right. I didn't get it right. Anybody can think what he thinks. I've been in a meeting before. I said something. Lord told me. The person was there in the crowd, didn't respond. After the meeting, he now came to meet me and said, really, when you said that thing, it was me. You know, and you know, sometimes you can feel offended. You now made me look like a liar. Look, if that's an issue to you, then you have a problem. Now, the problem is, the bigger issue really is that in that service, the anointing was present. Sometimes after the meeting, that anointing might have lifted to minister to that person. That's it. But sometimes it can still work. Amen. So I just said it out. I said, well, this is what the Lord will have me tell you. Tell your daddy that he's healed. And that was all. Didn't hear anything. Didn't. After the meeting, nobody told me anything. The guy didn't try to walk up to me. You know, if someone tried to walk up to me after that meeting, people would suspect him. Isn't it? So he didn't. 4 years after, went to visit a friend. Then the guy was going to the same person to visit them. We met. He said, I need to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, do you remember that meeting 4 years ago where you said this? I said, yes, I remember. He said, he was the one. Said it was his dad. Said if his dad went without his medication in 1 week, he would start having seizures. Said after that meeting, he got in contact with his dad and he told his dad, well, I was in this meeting tonight and God, the minister said, one minister said this and it looks like it fits you. Well, told me, he said it's been 4 years now. His dad hadn't taken a tablet and hadn't had a seizure. Obviously, there was a link. Amen. So they are to be a blessing. They are to be a blessing. Not to point attention to ourselves. Not to prove that we are more anointed than the other person. Not to prove anything. You see, the fact that God uses you in gifts of the Spirit, God once spoke Hebrew through a donkey. You understand? The Corinthian church, they came behind an old gift, yet they were carnal. I guess if God can use a donkey, he can use me. And he can use you too. Do you get my point? So, love must always be our motivation. Love must always be our motivation. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. You see, if we're so driven with wanting to see somebody get blessed, wanting to see somebody's life get changed, God will help us to do it. God will equip us to do it. God will empower us to do it. Amen. I said something earlier on. I said revival fire burns brighter to purer vessels. See, something about character. Developing godly character. You know, I've seen some people walk in the power of God and you felt repelled. They were mean. They were nasty. But they were anointed. Very anointed. Have you seen some of them? You see, Samson came from the harlot's place. And they had locked the gate of the city. I'm not talking about the gate of the house. I'm not talking about the gate of the street. I'm not talking about the gate of the estate. I'm talking about the gate of the city. They locked the gate of the city on him. And he was coming from a prostitute's place. What did he go to do there? I don't think he went to preach there. Your guess is as good as mine. You know? And guess what happened? That same anointing that will come on him. You know, he carried the gate of the city. He didn't just open the gate. He carried it. He went up a hill, a distance of like 20 kilometers. Yeah. You see, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When God calls, he calls. When he gives, he gives. He's not going to take it back. Yeah. Even if the person is messing up. That's why gifts of the Spirit in and of themselves alone are not necessarily a mark of divine approval by themselves. Are not necessarily a mark that you are okay. You know, one time God told Moses to speak to the rock. He struck the rock two times. So he disobeyed God, right? But let me ask you, did water come out?
Yes, sir.
It still did. So the fact that someone has results doesn't necessarily mean he's obeying God. Should we have results? Yes. Should we contend for the supernatural? Yes. But also, more importantly, let's make sure we're obeying God. Let's make sure we're doing the right thing. Let's make sure we keep our hearts right towards God. Well, my sixth thought, you now see from verse 8 to 10 that nine manifestations are listed. Now, those nine, you can group them into three categories. There are three of them that say something. There are three of them that do something. And there are three of them that reveal something. It's just like if you're a person and you exist, you'll be able to talk, right? You'll be able to act and you'll know stuff. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. Through the utterance gifts, he speaks. Through the power gifts, he does. He acts. Through the revelation gifts, he reveals. He knows stuff. Out of all the nine manifestations of the Spirit, which is the best? Well, in a specific sense, none is the best. It depends on the one that is needed at that time. If someone is suicidal, prophecy is probably the best. If someone lost their car, the word of knowledge is probably the best to know where it is and how to find it. Yeah. If somebody is sick and terminal, gifts of healings is probably the best. If someone is seeking direction for their future, the word of wisdom is probably the best. So the best just depends on what is needed at that time. When the axe head sank, working on miracles was the best. So the best is just whichever one is needed the most at that time, speaking in a specific sense. However, in a general sense, the best of them will be the word of wisdom. Because there's nothing better than knowing God's plans and purposes for the future. You understand? So the three revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of the plan and purpose in the mind of God. It's always about the future. The word of knowledge is supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of certain facts in the mind of God about people, places, or things. Now, what's the difference between both of them? The word of wisdom is always about the future, whereas the word of knowledge is about the past or the present. That's what it is. Now, both of them are called word of. A word is a fragmentary part of a sentence. You don't want to handle all the knowledge God has. Believe me, you don't need it. It'll run you mad. It'll just run you mad. Imagine if I knew what everybody was thinking right now. I don't think I want it. Some people are saying, look at that fine boy. You know, some people are saying, look at the way he's teaching. Some people are saying, I don't want to even know. You know, it's only God that can know everything and still be okay. So, Rather him than me. Do you understand? So God has all knowledge. But he reveals to us the part of his knowledge he wants us to know. God has all wisdom. He reveals to us the part of his wisdom that he wants us to know. The word wisdom there is the word Sophia. Sophia means divine will and purpose. So the word of wisdom is about the plan and the purpose of God. And it always points to the future. The word of wisdom could be conditional and it may be unconditional. Are you listening? Yeah, but it's always revelation about the future. What's going to happen in the future? Discerning of spirits is seeing and or hearing into the spirit realm. In that spirit realm, God is there. In that spirit realm, Jesus is there. In that spirit realm, the Holy Ghost is there. In that spirit realm, angels are there. In that spirit realm, man is also there, who's a spirit. In that spirit realm, demons are there. So, seeing into the world of spirits. Some people who claim to have discerning of spirits, what they have is the gift of suspicion. If they'll put it on themselves a while, they'll get rid of it. And they know it's not from God. Or the gift of fault finding. No, that's not a gift. You don't need a gift to have that. All you need to do is to be carnal. You have that. Amen. So that's not discerning of spirits. Now, we have various examples in the Bible of these things. Several. Jesus was by that well in Sychar. You know, was talking with that woman. And then he told the woman, go get your husband. The woman said, I don't have any. Jesus said, well, you've well spoken. We've had five. The man you're living with now is not your husband. The woman was startled. Later, the woman said, come see a man who told me all I ever did. Well, if you've had five husbands, I think that's all you ever did. Amen. Now, that was the word of knowledge. I was in a meeting one time, and as I was in that service, this was sometimes in 1992, I just sensed in my heart that the Lord would have me do something in that meeting. So I said, any 10 people, come out. Now, I haven't done it. I never did this before the meeting, and I've never done that since that meeting. So I said, any 10 people, come out. Ushers, just any 10. Line them up. I said, if I can supernaturally tell you stuff about you that I didn't know in the natural, would you believe that this is God and that he wants to bless you? There was a particular guy. He was a friend of that pastor. Later, I found out this. He told the guy seated next to him, it's impossible. He can't do it. It's a lie. Nobody can do that. I didn't know. He made sure he forced his way to be among the 10. He ran out. Well, I got to find out all this later. The moment I laid hands on him and touched him, you know what happened? You know, I shut my eyes, praying in the spirit. The moment I did, I saw him. I saw him wearing a ward coat. Right? Had a quick vision. Saw him wearing a ward coat. Then I saw dogs around him. So I looked at him and I said, you're a vet doctor. His mouth went like. Then the next thing I saw a lady. I saw the lady. The lady was walking away. And there was a look on her face. With my eyes shut, also a vision. The lady was walking away and looked angry. You know, as soon as I saw that, just on the inside too, I knew what it meant. So I said to him, I said, you are in a relationship with a lady. She broke it recently. And she's mad with you. His mouth, duh. He didn't shut it on time. Maybe some mosquitoes might have entered. Yeah. You see, God can do stuff like that. I was praying for a meeting one time. Just praying in the spirit. When all of a sudden, I had an audible voice. Right then, in my room, by myself. I was in C47 Mellanby Hall in UI. Just praying in the spirit, getting ready to preach one Thursday evening. Had this audible voice. It came from inside me. But it was so loud, I actually turned back to see who said that. Because it looked like there was someone in the room. It was your audible, authoritative voice of the Holy Ghost. And you know what the voice said? It called somebody's name. I never heard that name before. The first name and the last name. As soon as I heard that, I was wondering, what about that? Then by an inward revelation, I knew when you get to that meeting tonight, call this person out. And this is what I want you to tell them. I said, all right, I won't forget. I think I noted it somewhere. I got to the meeting. Before I started preaching, I said, so I don't forget. Who bears this name? I called the first name. I called the last name. One person lifted up their hand, said, that's my name. I said, apparently God knows it. He told me to tell you something. You know, you wonder. So God can do stuff like that. He can. He can. I was in a meeting once. I don't always have this that strong in manifestation. We don't control those manifestations. Yes, there are certain things we can do to make ourselves more susceptible to them, to make create the right atmosphere for those things. But don't forget, there's the Spirit of God wills. One time I had that spirit of seeing and knowing come on me so strong. There was a section, there were like four people. I pointed at the first person, told him his name, told him his mother's name, told him where he lives, told him what's happening in his life. Second person, third person, fourth person, details like that. And then after I did that, it lifted. Someone said, why didn't you continue doing it? It had lifted. I wasn't the one doing it. Amen. Listen, God can do stuff. God can do stuff. Gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. Let me tell you, there are people's houses that I've described that I've never been in because I saw it. You know, sometimes I'll see people's car number plates. Yeah, and someone will say, hey, hey, no, there's no hey there, I can see it. I remember I was about to take school SAT geography exam. It was meant to be the next day. Earlier on that day, I'd been telling the Lord, Lord, what should I concentrate on in this, you know, particularly regional geography. You know, there's regional geography, there's human geography, there's physical geography, then there's map reading. No, oh, this thing is just wild. There's just so much. In this regional, which of it should I concentrate on? You know, I'd said that to the Lord earlier in the day and even forgotten about it. Nighttime, I went to witness and share God's word a little bit, you know, around, you know, prep, just before, as prep was starting. I went to a boarding school. Well, so suddenly I began to feel a bit feverish. So as I was feeling feverish, I remember Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. How God's word is life to those who find his words are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh and medicine. So I shut my eyes and I was just thinking about that. When all of a sudden, something ran in front of me like a screen. Just ran in front of me like I was watching a film. So I said, Lord, what's that? Oh, then I heard, are you not the one who asked me earlier on today what you should concentrate on concerning your regional geography? I just showed you the questions. Number one is this. Number two is this. Number three is this. Number four is this. Those are the four questions in the exam. Yeah. The Spirit of God can show stuff, believe me. I was 100 level, university. There was one course. We were meant to have a test the next day. The lecturer had said there was going to be a test for that course. So just like 3 a.m. of the day that the test was meant to be, I had a strange experience. An angel appeared to me, and the angel told me that test will not hold. So as this guy was following him up. So I told him, I said, I had an experience early hours of morning today. I said, you know what? This test will not hold. He looked at me and said, if you didn't read, say you didn't read. Which one is this test will not hold? Well, we got to FLT, you know. I went to UI. While we were there, the man who taught the course went on the board, wrote the name of the course, and wrote test. That guy looked at me and said, We know who. What's not holding? I beg, we're going to write test. After he had written that, now wrote under it, has been postponed indefinitely. The guy looked at me and said, did he tell you? I said, he didn't tell me. I said, somebody else told me. He said, how did you know that? Now, I was trying to follow that guy up, teach him about the things of God. That experience made an indelible mark on his life. So he began to think, so these things are real like this. How did you know that? You see, God knows stuff. Now, what was that? That was a word. Well, was it a word of knowledge? Maybe a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, because apparently it looked like the man had already decided he wasn't going to hold. You know, so by the time I knew it, the decision was made. Well, you could say it was a word of wisdom because he could have changed his mind between that night and the morning. So it pointed to the future. God can reveal stuff. After I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I noticed the word of knowledge began to work with me. Many times, I'll just see stuff just run in front of me like a screen. I'll just see. I'll be praying, and then I'll just see. When I pastored, I didn't have a program of visitation. I visited people, though, but I didn't have a scheduled program. But you know what? Anytime any of my members was in trouble, I showed up. I just showed up at their doorstep. And then I began to talk to them about the very thing they were in trouble about. And then many of them would say, okay, why did you come to see me today? Okay, why is it that when you came today, you're talking about this particular issue? I'll start laughing. They'll say, you know what? This is what happened today. I was just saying, God, I need help about this. And then you showed up and you began to talk about the very thing. I say, I knew. That's why I came. You know, God can show us things. Now, one time, one of my members said to me, he said, do you know why we don't live in sin here? I said, well, because I endeavor to be exemplary. And moreover, I teach you God's word and I believe the best of you. The person said, that may be true, but there's one other reason we think we should tell you. Really, there's nothing that we do and you won't know. Now, of course, I'm not God, right? Even Elisha knew, Gehazi knew he stood a chance of lying with Elisha. That it wasn't everything God showed Elisha. Otherwise, Gehazi wouldn't have tried. You know, lied concerning Naaman and the clothes and all that. So my point is this. God wants us to see more of these manifestations. Now, the power gifts, there's special faith. There's walking of miracles. There's gifts of healings. Special faith, you know, is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Ghost, such that what is spoken by man or spoken by God or desired by man shall eventually come to pass once it has been spoken by that gift. The special faith is more of a process. When the gift of faith is a manifestation, the miracle could take years. You see, when John G. Lake was born, Gordon Lindsay was born. Gordon Lindsay was born in Zion City, Illinois. John Alexander Dowie built it. John Lake laid hands on Gordon Lindsay as a baby, and he spoke over his life that God's hand was on him, was going to preach the gospel, and he will be a prolific writer. Gordon Lindsay died at age 56. As of the time he was 50, he hadn't written one book. Yeah. But you know, like over 250 books were credited to him. Yeah. So what was said, 50 years it hadn't happened, but it happened eventually. That's special faith. You know, working on miracles is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course, a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. A temporary suspension of the accustomed order, an interruption in the system of nature as we know it, operated by the force of the Spirit of God. Okay, you say, that plenty turinchy that I said, what is it? Let me tell you what it is. You see, if I jump up now, what happened? I came down. Why? There's a law of gravity. But supposing I jumped up and I stayed in mid-air, that would be the working of miracles. That would be a divine intervention. If it's God that did it, devil can also do stuff. It will be a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. Do you see that? Water does not become wine, but it did in John 2. An axe head does not float, but it floated. That's a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. Do you see that? God can create stuff. I went to preach somewhere. There was this guy, grown guy. He had lost a tooth. And then I ministered to him and the truth began growing and it grew back there. Ah, I have a few teeth that have gone. I wish I could grow them back too. But I'm not the one controlling it. I wasn't the one that did that. It was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. God can do stuff. God can create stuff. Sometimes organs have been removed. Brother Hagin had a niece. She had cancer. Because of the cancer, they had to remove her female organs, remove everything. So they told her she could never have children. Her tubes were gone. Her ovaries were gone. Her womb was gone too. You know, Brother Hagin was ministering in the spirit one day. And then he saw something. And then he ministered to his niece. And you know what? She went back to the hospital. The doctor said, look, everything we took out is back there. Somebody put it back. It wasn't us. Yeah. If we were not the ones that took it out, we would have said it wasn't taken out. But we took it out. We took it out. We have scans that showed that you didn't have it, but you now do. Yeah. That's not gifts of healings. That's working on miracles. Rick Renner had a kidney disease, right? He was in one of those early camp meetings. I think it was 73. Brother Hagin had a healing line. I think he came to get filled with the Holy Ghost or something. Brother Hagin laid hands on him. And he got a brand new kidney. God healed him. Yeah. Heard it from Rekrena's mouth. Same Rekrena that you know. God can do stuff. And he still does stuff today. Yes, gifts of healings. Now, there's a difference between gifts of healings and the healing anointing. With the healing anointing, the faith of the individual is required. But when gifts of healings are in manifestation, it has nothing to do with your faith or my faith or anybody else's faith. If it will just yield to the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Yes, yeah. And it's God supernaturally destroying the yoke of sickness and disease. It seems like there are different gifts in different areas of healings. That's why it's called gifts of healings. Brother Hagin, for instance, found out that his area where he was, yeah, he ministered with the healing anointing, and that worked with any kind of sickness. But with gifts of healings, which was what he started ministering with initially, he had more results with growths. Growths. F.F. Bosworth, virtually every deaf person he prayed for got healed. Even when their eardrums had been removed, another one was created. Yeah. In the healing revival, some people had more results with blindness. Some people had more results in different areas. So it seems there are different gifts in different areas of healings. Do you see that? What about the utterance gifts? Prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known language. Tongues is supernatural utterance in an unknown language. Interpretation of tongues is a supernatural showing forth the meaning of what was said in tongues. Are you listening? You see, what I'm teaching in just maybe like an hour and a half or 2 hours this morning and this evening is a 12-hour class that we take. And even with the 12 hours, we barely complete it. So I'm just giving you the abridged version of the very abridged version. Are you listening? Just enough to make you curious and enough to make you want to study more. Believe me, God does stuff. God does stuff. God does stuff. I was in a church to minister. So I said, anybody, you have somebody who is crippled. You know, it wasn't like the Lord. I'm not sure that he even led me. I don't know why I said what I said. So I just said, I first started this church. They asked me to teach about the name of Jesus. So I started Friday night. It was somewhere in Kaduna. So I started teaching. Saturday night, I taught some more. Then I told them on Friday, I said, Sunday morning, I'm going to minister to the sick. If you've never seen a miracle life, don't miss Sunday morning service. It'll happen. You know? Ever seen those kind of things like blind eyes, deaf ears? Be in church on Sunday. Then I said it again Saturday night. You know? Then Sunday morning came. I finished teaching. Then I said, all right, let's get started. And did anybody bring deaf people here? There were three of them deaf. Two started hearing immediately. I said, did anybody bring blind people here? Two of them. One started seeing immediately. Then I said, anybody brought any crippled person? Then a mother, a brave mother, she just got up from her seat, carried her son, grown son, and brought him and put him on the platform and left him there and went to sit down. What was wrong with the boy? The legs were paralyzed, both legs. He couldn't stand up on his own feet. His legs couldn't hold his weight. Well, what he did, I asked them first in church. I said, okay, did I plan it with his mother? You know, there are some scoundrels in the ministry who will fake miracles. That's stupid, you know? And because of that, I said, does anybody know this family? Is this boy really sick? Is he really paralyzed? About a third of the church were like, we know the family. We know the story. We know. I said, okay. Then I said, have you ever seen a miracle like this before? Then some people's eyes were like, I said, okay, first, go and call the people in the car stand. You know, people who are security, watching with the cars, so that they won't say they didn't see it live. You know? Yeah. See, when the gift of faith is in manifestation, you know what's going to happen ahead of time. Well, they all came. I said, everybody watch. I moved back. I said, I'm just going to tell this boy to rise up and walk and he'll be healed. Well, I said, be healed in Jesus' name. The man began plenty grammar. I have no man to carry me. I've been in this condition 38 years. Who is asking him for the story of his life? Will that be made whole? Yes or no? Simple question, monosyllable answer. But he began plenty grammar. Plenty turinchi. Well, Jesus told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Well, the man got healed. He didn't even know who healed him. He said, who did you say? I don't know his name. But the man told me I should take my bed and walk. That wasn't his faith. Do you see that? It was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. After Jesus ministered to that one man, he turned and walked away. So say, why didn't he do that for everybody? It was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The truth is this. Israel did not need any angel troubling any water. You know why? They had a covenant of healing with Jehovah. If they would just believe Exodus 15, 26, Exodus 23, 25, and 26, they could have been healthy and healed. Besides, Jesus had constantly said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If any of them had gone to meet Jesus and just touched him, they could have been healed by faith in the healing anointing that he was anointed with. But none of them did that. But he had a manifestation of the Holy Ghost for one person. For one person. Why? Did you notice also the angel used to trouble the water? And when the angel troubles the water, the first person that gets in gets healed. Not 10 people, just one. Why does God do stuff like that? And you also notice that the angel did not go on any set pattern. If it was the first Thursday of every month or every Tuesday, people won't be there all the time. Signs and wonders may be wrought by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. So they prayed for signs and wonders. We can also pray for manifestations of the Holy Ghost. See, that time, Paul hadn't come with the revelation of 1 Corinthians 12. So they didn't know to call them gifts of the Spirit. They just said signs and wonders. Are you listening? I heard Brother Hagin say this. He said he found that the more he prayed and worshipped God in tongues, the more manifestations of other gifts of the Spirit he saw in his life. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. When God is moving in a certain direction, as many people as have needs there, it'll work for them too. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.